Revelation chapter 20. As we continue our walk through the book of Revelation, we have come to chapter 20 now, and we're going to look at the first six verses this morning. So today, as we continue walking through the book of Revelation, we come to chapter 20. And chapter 20 is one of the most controversial chapters in the Bible. It touches on a subject of preconceived notions. And as we look at this passage this morning, we find that now is the time when Satan will be taken, he will be bound up, and he will be put into a bottomless pit. His influence will not have any effect on the tribulation saints who have lived through the 7 years of tribulation. Now, I want you to imagine for just a while, if you could, what it would be like if Satan was not around to tempt anyone. What kind of life would we live if he couldn't come around throwing all kinds of temptations in front of us? Well, as we're seeing here in Revelation, and as we're going to see as we continue into these last few chapters, the 1,000-year period called the millennium will be a time of paradise. Nothing bad will happen during those 1,000 years. Even the curse on the animals will be lifted at that time. As it says in Scripture, the wolf will lie down with the lamb, and they will live in peace. No one will enter this 1,000-year millennium period unless he or she is a believer in Jesus Christ. We will be living at that time, you and I, in glorified bodies. Not the bodies that we have now, but in glorified bodies. And of course, these are the bodies that will be given to us at the resurrection. Now, right now, those people who have died, if they were Christians, their souls are in heaven. Their bodies are in cemeteries like this. But at the rapture, of course, there will be a resurrection. And those bodies will come up out of the grave as glorified bodies to be united with their souls as they come up to meet the Lord in the air. And, of course, that's going to be us. Either we're going to be dead when this happens and we'll be resurrected from the grave, or we will be alive. And as we are caught up, these mortal bodies will be changed to glorified bodies, much like the body that Christ had on Easter Sunday morning. But there will be people who will enter this 1,000-year period not in glorified bodies. These people who survive the 7 years of tribulation, who have somewhere along the line of those 7 years finally realized that Jesus is the Savior, did not receive the mark of the beast, did not worship the Antichrist, and after the 7 years has expired, they will be allowed to enter into this 1,000-year millennium period in a physical body just like we have today. And as a result, because it will be a time of peace, because nothing bad will happen, because there will be no disease, these people who enter into the millennium time in physical bodies, many, if not all of them, will live the entire 1,000-year period. Now, Brother Bill back there, he's the oldest guy in the congregation, but he's not anywhere near 1,000 years old. You're gaining on it, though, right? So are the rest of us. I've got news for you. Now, these people who enter into this millennium in bodies just like us will have the same capability that we have had in our bodies. They will be capable of giving birth to children. And there will be children born to these people who enter the millennium in a physical body during this 1,000-year period. And this will result in a tremendous population explosion during those 1,000 years. Now, if you've been with me through these studies of Revelation, you know that a whole big portion of the earth's population will be destroyed during those 7 years of the plagues that God sends as a judgment upon the earth. The earth's population will be reduced significantly during those 7 years. But now, as we go into the millennium, the 1,000-year period, these people will start having babies, and then there'll be more babies and more babies, and the kids that are born, they'll have babies. Well, you can imagine what could happen in 1,000 years, how many people could actually be born and live during that time. The children of those who are born during the millennium will still have to be taught about Jesus, even though he will be with them, even though they'll be able to see him in some form or fashion as he reigns in the holy city of Jerusalem. Not like we have an experience with Jesus today, but they'll be able actually to see him. And yet, they still will have to accept him, as you and I have had to, as their Savior. Unfortunately, as we're going to see as we continue through Revelation, many of those people born during this time will not accept him. Many of those children will turn out to be rebels, and there will be, at this time, the 1,000-year period, many unbelievers. All right, that's enough preliminary work. Let's begin to get into the verses here, of the 6 verses we're looking at this morning. Look at verses 1 and 2 with me in your Bible. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Now, friends, first of all, the point I want to make here, this angel is not Jesus. All right, this is a special angel. It is a ministering angel that Jesus has given special authority to. And this angel, as you'll notice here, comes down out of heaven. Jesus has turned the key to the bottomless pit for this one instance over to this angel. And this great chain that's mentioned here shows the power that God has given over the devil to the angel for this specific job of bounding him up. Now, before the millennium 1,000-year period kingdom begins, Satan, here we see in these two verses, is bound in a bottomless pit. Why? He's bound there to prevent him from deceiving anyone. When he bound the devil here now for 1,000 years, the angel puts him into, but I want you to notice, he puts him in a pit, not the burning hell. There's a difference here. This is the bottomless pit where Satan is imprisoned, if you will. This is not burning hell that you and I often think of as the place where people go when they die. Burning hell, friends, is his eternal destiny, but not now. Burning hell will be his final punishment, but that will come later. The devil will not be here on this earth during this 1,000-year period to harass people, but there will come a time when he gets that opportunity. And that will come at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. All right, let's move on to verse 3. You see here verse 3, and he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. Now this seal here indicates God's authority and God's guarantee that the Satan is not going to be released until the 1,000-year period is over. There's no way the old devil is going to find a way to break out of prison. The seal is on him. God's seal. Nothing breaks God's seal here in this case. The old devil can't find a way, no matter how hard he might try, to get out of this bottomless pit. And during this 1,000-year period millennium, Satan will not be able to tempt or to deceive anyone. Imagine what that must be like, or what it will be like. Satan's demons, or fallen angels, if you will, they're also imprisoned at this time. See, friends, you must understand this. Now, I know some people think this is foolishness, but I believe in demons. Amen? I believe in them. We not only have the old devil to contend with, we got demons out there. The Bible talks about demons all through the New Testament. Jesus dealt with demons. And I don't find anywhere in Scripture where it says that all of the demons have been wiped away. Some of them have been, yes. but there are still demons out there. We have to deal with spiritual forces in high places. Amen? Isn't that what the Bible says? So we not only have the devil running around giving us all kinds of trouble and temptations, but his soldiers, if you will, fallen angels who became demons, they're out there too, causing all kinds of troubles. Do I believe in haunted houses? Yes. But not ghosts, demons. Demons can act much like a ghost, but that's another sermon. Any temptation to sin at the end of this 1,000-year millennium period must come from within these people born during the 1,000-year reign. Now, we're going to be living there with them, but remember, friends, we'll be living in glorified bodies, and we have been promised by the Lord that we will not die again. Let me get a drink of water here again. My voice is not quite back to 100%. There is no way we're going to lose our salvation and our guarantee of eternal life during this 1,000-year period. We're safe in our glorified bodies. We'll be able to withstand the temptation that comes from Satan when he's released at the end of the 1,000-year period. But not so for people living during that 1,000-year period in bodies like us. They will be subject to the same temptations that we are when the devil is finally released. Now, during this 1,000-year period, make no mistake about this, Jesus will be ruling in the holy city of Jerusalem. And there will be no opposition to his rule. His kingdom will include righteousness, peace, and love. The prophet Isaiah writes about that time in the second chapter. He says, "Many people shall come and say, 'Come and let us go into the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more." That's a prophecy from Isaiah that has not been fulfilled and won't be fulfilled until this time of the 1,000-year millennium reign, a time of peace. Daniel the prophet also spoke of this time in chapter 7, verse 14. "Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed." This again is a prophecy in the Old Testament, speaking of this time when Jesus rules in Jerusalem for 1,000 years over all the earth. Zechariah the prophet also wrote about this time in chapter 14. "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day it shall be, the Lord is one, and his name one." So there are prophecies in the Old Testament that speak of this time. You see, friends, again, why I say preachers who ignore the Old Testament, it's no wonder they won't mess with Revelation, because none of it makes sense to them, because they refuse to go back into the Old Testament to see what it says to verify Revelation. The sad part about it, in fact, is even though life will be so wonderful for everyone during that 1,000-year reign, it will come to an end. Because as it says here in our verses this morning, after the 1,000 years are up, Satan comes out of that bottomless pit, but only for a short time. That's the good part. Satan will once again be released for the purpose of deceiving the nations. And, as you might expect, he will find many unsaved descendants of those who lived through that millennium. There will be a very large number, as we are told when we get to verse 8, because they will be like the sands of the seashore. Many, many people following the devil in a last rebellion at the end of the 1,000 years. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us here specifically how he does that, but Satan somehow uses his deceptive ways to get these people who never really were born again in mortal bodies like you and I during that 1,000-year reign. Somehow he'll suck them in to following him. Verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Friends, this verse is talking about events that happened here on earth. Not in heaven, here on earth. The Christians who lost their lives, who were slaughtered during those 7 years of tribulation, and those who refused to take the mark of the beast, it says here, are going to reign with Jesus right here on earth during this 1,000-year period. People think, you know, you die and you go to heaven to spend eternity in heaven. That's not what Revelation says. Revelation says, as we looked in chapter 19, we're all coming back. When Jesus rides that white horse, we follow him on our white horses too. Or some other horse. I don't know whether he's going to be white or not. But we're coming back, folks, to this earth. And we're going to be reigning with Christ. Christians from all generations will rule and reign with Jesus. Now that word reign doesn't mean we're just going to exist, sitting around waiting for time to pass. It means some authority is going to be given to us. We will rule with Jesus during this 1,000-year period, but we will not be equal to him in authority. In other words, we will kind of reign as subordinates, subordinate rulers of Jesus. Who will we be reigning over? My guess is, and I think it's a pretty safe guess, is these people who are living during the 1,000 years in fleshly bodies. We'll rule over them. The thrones here in verse 4 represent the administration of the kingdom, ruling places, if you will. Kind of like today, we have capital cities. Springfield is the capital of Illinois. Washington, D.C. is the capital of the nation. These thrones will be capital locations for us to rule over specific groups of people. Jesus will rule through three classes of kingdom administrators. First of all, there will be the Old Testament saints. These will be resurrected at this time. Now, we are resurrected, those of us of the church age, from the time Jesus died on the cross up until whatever time it is when the rapture happens, we are raptured out as the church age saints. So the question obviously is, when are the Old Testament saints resurrected? They will be resurrected at the beginning of the millennium, or at the end of the 7 years of tribulation. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19 says, "Your dead shall live. Together with my dead body they shall arise. Awake and sing, you who dwell in dust, for your dew is like the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead." And the old prophet Daniel chapter 12 writes in verse 2, "And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt." So the Old Testament saints are resurrected when? At the end of the 7 years of tribulation. Then there are the apostles in the church, another class of ruling, reigning people. Matthew chapter 19, beginning at verse 28, Jesus says, "Assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory," has that happened yet? Is Jesus sitting on his throne of glory? No, he's sitting in heaven at the right hand of God the Father, but he's not sitting on a throne here on earth. "You who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or wife or children or lands for my sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life." So the 12 apostles will also be a ruling class under Jesus, of course, for this 1,000-year period. And then there are the tribulation saints. Only believers in Jesus Christ will enter the millennium at the very beginning. Jesus said in John chapter 3, beginning at verse 3, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. After the millennium is over, Jesus will deliver the kingdom of God to the Father. And then Jesus will be appointed ruler forever. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 24, God's word says, Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death, for he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who puts all things under him is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who puts all things under him, that God may be all in all. And this is speaking of a time that will not be established until the 1,000-year period is over and this last rebellion by Satan is put down, which we're going to read about more as we continue in Revelation. But just kind of hold that thought for right now as we move on to verse 5. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now this first resurrection is the resurrection included in verse 4. And the first resurrection has three segments, I guess is the best word I can think of. There are two resurrections, but the first one has three segments, or three stages, if you will. The first resurrection is the resurrection of Jesus after his death on the cross. And the Bible also says that there were many people who were resurrected and when Jesus died on the cross as well. The resurrection of the church, which, by the way, could happen before we get out of here, amen? I mean, the rapture could happen at any time, right? The resurrection of the church is the rapture. That's portion number two of the first resurrection. And the resurrection of the Old Testament and tribulation saints, which again happens before the 1,000-year millennium begins, is portion number three. Now, it says the rest of the dead, who were never saved, of course, will be raised in the second resurrection. And that will be described when we get to verses 12 and 13, which hopefully will be next Sunday. So you all come back next Sunday to find out more about the second resurrection. Now, the first resurrection of dead bodies is a resurrection to life. The second resurrection of dead bodies, which again we'll get to at verse 12 and verse 13, is a resurrection to eternal punishment in the lake of fire. And I'm not going to get into that this morning and get you all bogged down as to why there are two separate resurrections and why the first resurrection is to eternal life and the second is to eternal punishment and how that can possibly happen. That's coming later. So you all come back, okay? Let's look at the last verse here this morning, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. You know, when you think about it, we Christians are so, so blessed. Amen? We really are. As it says here in verse 6, the wicked dead will have no part in the resurrection to eternal life. We believers in Jesus are not subject to dying again. Why? Because we have been born again. We, my friends, will never, ever die. Oh, yes, our bodies will. You know very well, I'm in the funeral business with nails. And we bury a lot of people. And you folks have been to a lot of funerals, too. And someday, if the rapture continues to be pushed further and further into the future, someday there'll be a funeral for you and for me, too. These bodies will die. But there is something more important than our bodies, isn't there? What is that? It's our soul. Our souls will never die, friends. Those of us who have been born again, our souls will live forever and ever and ever. The second death that is mentioned here in verse 6 is only for those people who are lost, who never ever accept Christ as Savior. Christians will reign on this earth with Jesus for 1,000 years during that millennium. And then there's more to come, but I don't want to get into that either, because we'll get all bogged down again. That's in the weeks to come, when we get to chapter 21 and chapter 22. And as it says, Jesus is going to rule over the entire world. There's not going to be a president of the United States and a premier over Cuba and a prime minister over Great Britain. You know, different rulers with different powers. There will be only one power, Jesus Christ, ruling in Jerusalem. But, as we've seen here this morning, Jesus will have his helpers, so to speak. The saints of all ages, in resurrected bodies, will administer the kingdom righteously under his authority and under his direction. All evilness will be prohibited during this 1,000-year period. Satan is safely locked away, and he will not be able to influence mankind in any way during this 1,000 years. Man, that's something to look forward to. Now, in closing, while it says Jesus will rule with a rod of iron, it's very clear, as we are going to see, as we've kind of gotten into a little bit of a hint here this morning, many people born into physical bodies, like we have today, during this 1,000-year period, at the end of that period, they're going to eventually rebel against Jesus. Now, here's the sad part. These people born into these physical bodies during this 1,000-year period are going to rebel and follow Satan when he's released. Many of them will appear on the outside during this 1,000 years that they are followers of Jesus, but inwardly they will hate his authority over them. They will not like it that they have to live their lives the way Jesus says they must live their lives. And these are the people who are going to join Satan at the end of the 1,000-year millennium in a rebellion against Jesus. You know what, though, friend? I don't find that hard to believe. I find that real easy to believe, because I believe there are many people just like them living today. Many people who will be just like these people, who look like Christians on the outside, but inwardly they hate Jesus' authority over them on the inside. Many of the people walking the earth today are just like them. They don't like what the Bible says is right and what is wrong. Isn't this the authority that God has handed down to us? Don't we have a lot of people walking this earth today who hate what the Bible says? Who try to discount it? Try to say, well, that's not what it means. And you know, I mean, Jesus, God is a God of love. And you know, that don't fit with what a God of... What the Bible says is right, all the way from Genesis to the end of Revelation. Amen? This is God's authority. And you and I know, we've run into them a lot. There are people who don't like what the Bible says, and they refuse to submit to that authority. And there are many people who choose to rebel against it. There are many people out there who ought to be in church on Sunday morning, but they got no use to go to church. They want to live their lives the way they want to live them. They got no time to go to see what the preacher has to say that Sunday morning or what the service. They got no time to go worship the Lord on Sunday morning. They want to live their lives for themselves. Have a good time on Sunday morning. Friends, there are a lot of people just like these people that are going to show up at the end of the 1,000 years to rebel with Satan. There are just a lot of people like them living here today. There are many people just like these people of the millennium who don't have Jesus in their hearts. The question I have for you folks this morning, is Jesus in your heart?